When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through you? Well, we're giving them to you. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
She loves me, and to my amazement, I love it, knowing that she loves me. She loves me, true, she doesn't show it. How could she, when she doesn't know it? Yesterday she loathed me, now today she likes me. And tomorrow, tomorrow, my teeth ache for the urge to touch her. I'm speechless, or I mustn't tell her. It's wrong now, but it won't be long now before my love discovers that she and I are lovers. Imagine how surprised she's bound to be. I want her, that's the thing that matters. And matters are improving daily. And tomorrow, tomorrow, I'm tingling, such delicious tingles. I'm trembling, what the heck does that mean? I'm freezing, that's because it's cold out. But still I'm incandescent, and like some adolescent, I'd like to sprawl on every wall I see. She loves me. She loves me. She loves me.
Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I am more incandescent than any adolescent could possibly be, because my guest today is not only one of the great lyricists of the Broadway stage, but one of its most beloved figures, and a true gentleman, and of course I'm talking about the one and only Sheldon Harnick. Welcome to Broadway to Main Street, Sheldon.
What a lovely introduction, thank you.
Well, I couldn't mean it more. So we're going to take a little tour through Sheldon's miraculous career of fascinating songs, all of which have such warmth and cleverness and such great storytelling to them. I think they're really unique among the canon of extraordinary Broadway songs. And I was hosting a concert at Merkin Concert Hall of great performers who were born, I think, in 1895, great lyricists, and they were Hammerstein, Hart, and Harburg. And I thought, isn't that a coincidence? You once noted, Sheldon, that all great lyricists seem to begin with H-A. Is that just
I used that in my program that I did for the YMHA. I made a point of that when I first came to New York and I was struggling to establish myself, I established the H-A tradition because I thought there was Hammerstein, there was Hart, there was Harburg. So there had to be Harnick. And in fact, it was the H-A-R tradition. It was Hart, Harburg, and I thought on bad days I added an R to it. It was Oscar Hammerstein.
Well, there's also Otto Harbach, who was not
yes,
a half-bad lyricist.
Otto Harbach. Oh, when I was apartment hunting just before Margie and I got married, I went to an apartment that was advertised. I came in and was so embarrassed, maybe that's the wrong word, but there was Harbach in a wheelchair. It was his apartment.
Well, great lyricist. So we're going to throw you, I asked you to bring some songs in, and one of your, I guess, inspirations is Yip Harburg, and you picked a great song from Finian's Rainbow. Would you like to talk about that?
Well, Yip, Finian's Rainbow changed my life. I've mentioned this in a lot of interviews. While I was at Northwestern University, one of my classmates was a woman who later changed her name to Charlotte Ray. She had a wonderful career in television. Anyway, Charlotte and I were friends, and she had gone to New York, and she had seen Finian. So when she came back, she loaned me the album and said, "Sheldon, you of all people have to listen to this." I listened to it, and at the time, I was a violin major. I thought that was going to be my career. But after I heard Finian's Rainbow, I thought, no, I want to write lyrics for the musical theater. I want to see if I can accomplish anything nearly as wonderful as what Yip Harburg did for Finian's Rainbow.
Well, here's a wonderful song from Finian's Rainbow with the original cast headed by Ella Logan, "When the Idle Poor Become the Idle Rich."
Become the idle rich. You'll never know just who is who or who is which. Won't it be rich when everyone's poor relative becomes a rocker fellative and palms no longer itch? What a switch
when we all have vermin and plastic teeth. How will we determine who's who underneath?
And when all your neighbors are upper class,
you won't know your Joneses from your Esters.
Let's toast the day we drink our drinky up, but with a little pinky up,
the day on which the idle poor become the idle rich.
When a rich man doesn't want to work, he's a bon vivant.
Yes, he's a bon vivant.
But when a poor man doesn't want to work, he's a loafer, he's a lounger, he's a lazy good for nothing.
He's a jerk.
When a rich man loses on a horse, isn't he the sport?
Oh, isn't he the sport?
But when a poor man loses on a horse, he's a gambler, he's a spender, he's a lowlife, he's a reason for divorce. When a rich man chases after dreams, is a man about town, a man about town. But when a poor man chases after dreams, he's a bounder, he's a rounder, he's a rutter and a lot of dirty names.
You'll never know just who is which when the idle poor become the idle rich.
When the idle poor become the idle rich.
When the idle poor become the idle rich. You'll never know just who is who or who is which.
Irish or the Slav in you, for when you're on Park Avenue, Cornelius and Mike look alike.
When poor Tweedledum is rich Tweedledee, this discrimination will no longer be. When we're in the dough and off of the nut,
you won't know your banker from your butler.
Let's make the switch. With just a few annuities, we'll hide these incongruities with clocks from Abercrombie Fitch.
Great lyric from Finian's Rainbow. My guest today on Broadway to Main Street is one of the finest lyricists that Broadway has ever produced, Sheldon Harnick. And I didn't give a shout out to Steve Lawrence, It's a great version of She Loves Me at the top of the show. So there you are, Steve. Sheldon, one thing that always really piques me when I listen to your shows is this wonderful mixture of humor, which we just heard from Harburg, and great tenderness. And the next song is a very beautiful song from Tenderloin that you chose called My Gentle Young Johnny. Can you tell us a little about why you chose that?
I chose it less for my lyric than for Jerry Bock's music. The way Jerry Bock and I worked, we would go into our respective studios, and then he would create musical numbers and record them, and he would send me a tape with anywhere from maybe 8 to 12 numbers, and on one of the tapes was the music for this number, and it was so uncharacteristic of Jerry. It was almost like Debussy, perhaps. I just fell in love with it. Tenderloin, one of the aspects of the show of Tenderloin was about the world of prostitutes. And I wrote this for one of the characters who was the prostitute, and I just imagined what it must have been like hoping that somebody would come along, fall in love with her, and take her away from all this. And that's what the show, what the song is about.
Well, a well-worn theme, but you bring great originality to it. It almost sounds like a if it weren't such an American show, the lyrics strike me as being almost a chanson, something Piaf might have sung. So here are two songs back-to-back from a show that really deserves to be seen more often. Tenderloin, music by Jerry Bock, and lyrics by Sheldon Harnick.
As sweet a young child as you'd find. Her parents had gone to their final reward, leaving their baby behind. Did you hear? This poor little child was only 9 years of age when mother and dad went away. Still she bravely worked at the one thing she knew to earn her few pennies a day. She made artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, you know those artificial flowers, fashioned from Annie's despair. With paper and shears, with some wire and wax, she made up each tulip and mum. As snowflakes drifted into her tenement room, her baby little fingers grew numb from making artificial flowers, those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of high fashion to wear. She made artificial flowers, made from Annie's despair. They found little Annie all covered with ice, still clutching her poor frozen shears. Amidst all the blossoms she had fashioned by hand and watered with all her young tears. In heavenly gardens and bowers, and instead of a halo, she'll wear around her head a garland of genuine flowers. No more artificial flowers, throw away those artificial flowers, flowers for ladies of society to wear. From Annie's fashion, from Annie's despair.
Give her the real thing.
Well, that's the real thing. It's Bobby Darin taking a really interesting tack on a great turn of the century song from Tenderloin. Did you surprise you that Bobby Darin covered that song?
It surprised and delighted us, even though it's just, it's 180 degrees opposite from the intention of the song. I was in a restaurant not too long ago, and I saw Kevin Spacey across the room, and I went and introduced myself and thanked him, because not only did he put that in that song into the movie about Bobby Darin, but he sang the entire song.
Yeah, he did. He did a great job. Artificial Flowers is one of those songs that has a very hallmark, I think, of your style, which one critic referred to as the Harnickian jest, which is a real switch at the end of a song. So wiring and waxing, she waned. So do you start with that kind of idea and work backwards, or does that just sort of come to you as you go?
No, that occurred along the way when I thought, how do you make artificial flowers? Well, you apparently use wire, you use wax. And I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Well, we're so grateful it occurred to you. It's always such a delight to go through your songs. Our next show is She Loves Me, which is just so beloved by so many people. I'm editing a collection of 16 libretti for the Library of America, and I ran some of the titles past Tom Lehrer, who's still around on the West Coast and a big music theater aficionado. And he said, well, I'm not going to speak to you unless you include She Loves Me. and I had to speak to Tom Lehrer. But at any rate, it's such a special show, so many songs. What kind of place does that occupy for you in your work and in your heart?
Well, She Loves Me, I think, is the most satisfying theatrical experience that I've ever had. And the reason is this. When She Loves Me opened, we had very nice reviews, and we expected to have a run of a year, 2 years, something like that. And after about 4 or 5 months, we saw that business was falling off, which scared us. And it was heartbreaking. The show closed in about 8 or 9 months, lost money. And for a year, there was no activity on it at all. And we were heartbroken because all of us who were connected with it had poured so much love into it. We just loved that show. And then little by little, it began to be done. And Jerry Bock and I and Joe Mastroff got letters from the casts who were doing it saying, we don't understand why the show didn't work on Broadway because our audiences love it. And little by little, through the years, it became what was regarded as a cult show. And then, about 10 years ago, there was a revival at the Roundabout, and it catapulted it into the mainstream of shows that get done more or less regularly. And so that journey has been extraordinarily satisfying to me.
Well, I'm so glad, and I'm sure theatergoers around the country and around the world, because it's done well in London and Europe as well, are so pleased. So here's the original Amaya from She Loves Me, Barbara Cook, but this is from the Carnegie Hall recording where she includes the wonderful verse to Dear Friend.
The flowers, the linen, the crystal I see were carefully chosen for people like me. The silver agleam and the candles aglow, your favorite song on request, each colorful touch in the finest of taste. And notice how subtly the tables are spaced. The music is muted, the lighting is low. No wonder
Barbara Cook from the Carnegie Hall recording of Dear Friend from She Loves Me. Well, a great dear friend of the American theater is Sheldon Harnick, our illustrious guest today on Broadway to Main Street. And I suppose we come, as we must inevitably come, to Fiddler on the Roof, which was one of the great theatrical phenomena of the 20th century. There are stories that when Kern and Hammerstein, another H.A. lyricist, wrote Old Man River, that they were a little perturbed as time went on, that people thought that it was a folk song that they just kind of stole and interpolated into Showboat. I'm wondering, have you felt that way? Has Sunrise Sunset become something utterly larger than the show itself in terms of its impact on people's lives and weddings and things like that?
Apparently it has, which is extraordinarily gratifying, yeah. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody who thought it was a folk song. It just reminds me that in Fiorello, Jerry Bock and I wrote a song that was supposed to sound like Irving Berlin. And Jerry had a lot of letters from people accusing him of having stolen the song from Irving Berlin.
Wow. So that's a good revenge, I suppose. Writing well is a good revenge. Here is Sunrise Sunset, but sung by Jan Pierce in Yiddish. where it really does sound like a traditional song. So let's hear a rendition of that.
Mein Mädele, das Kleine, ist es das Jüngele, ich seh. Geht nur, na guck, wie schön der Wachsen sehnen seh. Wenn ich sie ja so schön geworden, wenn dieser Reus gewachsen hoch, der Schlechten haben sie gespielt, ihn heiß. Tag ein, Tag aus, Tag ein, Tag aus, das ist unser Land. Das ist ein Beschert, laufen die Jahren aneinander, tragen sie Frieden wie Tatröhr. Soll ich mit Eize See versorgen, soll ich sie helfen, öfter sorgen. Gott helf sie jeder um frühmorgen, Tag bei Tag. Sie sehen uns wie neu geboren, und wie ein Eipor Volk seht uns, ist noch ein Kuppedor vor uns, nur gleib. Tag ein, Tag aus, Tag ein, Tag aus, das ist unser Land. Tag ein, Tag aus, Tag ein, Tag aus, du siehst ein Beschert, laufen die Jahren aneinander, tragen sie Frieden mit Atem.
Jan Pierce. Sheldon, your lyrics are excellent even in another language that I don't know.
I was admiring him. I thought, my goodness, that fellow's clever.
Fiddler on the Roof, of course, one of the great phenomena of the 20th century. A friend of mine, Bert Fink, and I sat down once and we tried to think of what would Fiddler on the Roof be like if Larry Hart wrote the lyrics. And we got as far as, I've got five daughters, and there's a small huddle. And then I think we quit for a wise thing to do. Our next recording is a song you yourself sang at the 92nd Street Y many years ago. Tell us why you picked it to sing from Fiddler.
No, which was it?
How much richer could one man be?
It's a lovely song, and it had to be cut from the show. Originally, we gave it to the tailor, to sing after he's successful in winning his beloved title. But it seemed to slow down the show. And Jerome Robbins, our director at one of the staff meetings in Detroit, said, why don't you give him a really lively song that so he can express his joy? And we did. And we lost this song, and it's a lovely song.
Well, here's the incomparable Sheldon Harnick to sing his own lyrics from a song cut from Fiddler on the Roof. And then we'll hear another lovely song from the show.
You could have the richest man in town. Like a queen you could live. You could have whatever you desire. Things that I couldn't give. You could have the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. You've only to tell them yes. They would give you trinkets of silver and garments of silk. You should have so much more. You deserve nothing less. You could have the richest man in town, but it seems you love me. And so how much richer could one man be?
Little bed, little traveler, I don't understand what's happening today. Everything is all a blur. All I can see is a happy child, the sweet little bird you were. Traveler, traveler. Little bird, little traveler, you were always such a pretty little thing, everybody's favorite child. Gentle and kind and affectionate, what a sweet little bird you were, traveler, traveler.
The wistful violin of Isaac Stern from the soundtrack of Fiddler on the Roof. One of your most beautiful songs, I think, Sheldon, because I don't think there's a rhyme in it. I'm always sorry it wasn't on the cast album, which is Havala.
Yeah, that was the song originally was about eight times as long. And there was a lot of actual prayer, davening kind of sounds in it. But the show was long, and Jerry Robbins figured that he could do a certain amount with dance and just replace some of the lyrics.
Wow. It's Larry Mazel, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and my host today, my guest today is Sheldon Harnick. Sheldon, you have so many what do you call it, arrows in your quiver. You're also a light poet with a book of photographs that your wife Margie took.
Right. I have rarely written poetry in my life. The few times I've started to write poems, about halfway through, I thought, no, this would be better as a lyric. But my wife has turned out to be a brilliant photographer. She showed me all of these photographs, and a friend of ours, Jane Lara's literary agent, and managed to get us a publisher. And I wanted to be included in that book. So we divided the photographs into categories, and I chose to introduce each category with a poem. So I have 11 poems in that book.
And they're wonderful photographs. The title of the book is?
The Outdoor Museum, and the subtitle is Not Your Usual Images of New York. And I must say, Publishers Weekly called it a uniquely sublime souvenir.
Well, let's take a uniquely sublime part of your career, which was also a sort of play doctor. A show I was fascinated with as a kid was Baker Street. Uh-huh. And unbeknownst to me, you came in and you wrote some new songs for it.
Well, the producer had invited Jerry and me to do this show. We couldn't because we had another commitment. But at a certain point on the road, they figured they needed help, and Jerry and I were free, and we did come in and add a few songs.
Well, I'm pleased that I actually wrote the liner notes to the CD version of this score called Baker Street, and here's a wonderful song sung by Martin Gable, which has a great Harnickian jest at the end as the nefarious Professor Moriarty.
I assume, my dear Holmes, that you are wondering what happened to your man, Murillo. His death was crude, but yours will be a work of art. I shall miss you, Holmes, for in truth we are fellow connoisseurs, and it grieves me, Holmes, to eclipse such an intellect as yours. I've enjoyed each thrust and parry and riposte. Yes, your genius was indeed a match for mine, almost. I shall miss you, sir. I regret your reversion into dust. Life is hard, dear Holmes, and one does what one must. Your demise ensures the unobstructed birth of an empire that will circumscribe the earth. Observe Von Herder's masterpiece, a fantastic chronometer of death, which once begun cannot be touched without producing detonation. Oh, you can't know how profoundly I shall miss you, Holmes, though your death is essential to my schemes. You must die, dear Holmes, yet as strange as it seems, I shall mourn as I have never mourned before, when the stately Holmes of England is no more.
My guest today on Broadway to Main Street is Sheldon Harnick. One of the most fun shows in the 1960s has to be The Apple Tree, and you picked a selection with the irreplaceable, indomitable Barbara Harris to play for us. Tell us why.
I bought a DVD of treasures from the shows. On the cover, it listed all the songs, but it didn't list the fact that Barbara singing Gorgeous was one of them. And when we saw it, we were impressed all over again about how absolutely brilliant she was in that show, how fearless. Her performance is something to treasure.
Well, here she is as the Girl of the Cinders turned into Passionella, a story courtesy of another Hamptonian, Jules Pfeiffer, Barbara Harris from the Apple Tree.
Creature was there inside the old me, all bottled up waiting to get free. Now I see the real me. Look at this, look at that, look at those. Let me just feel me. Beautiful, glamorous, radiant, ravishing. Look at the hair, look at the shape, look everywhere. I am such a divine me. Every studio will sign me. My cup runneth over. Whoever saw such a complete wow? Nobody will say no to me. No, no one is as gorgeous as
Barbara Harris in a lesson in how to have a tessitura and get laughs simultaneously. Many people, of course, associate, or almost everybody associates you, of course, with the wonderful composer Jerry Bach. But you had a chance to work with Richard Rodgers on a show that I think has a lot of charm and interest to it called Rex. Do you want to talk about the experience of working with Rodgers on that?
Well, by the way, we have revised Rex, and it's going into the Rodgers and Hammerstein catalog now to be licensed because it's Sherman Yellow and I have made it into an absolutely lovely show.
Oh, great.
But at the beginning of our collaboration, I was unable to give the first lyric I wrote to Rodgers because I thought, oh, my God, he's going to grade me on it. I'll get a poor grade. How can I stack up against Larry Hart and Oscar Hammerstein? So I wrote the lyric for the Lullaby Elizabeth. I wrote it in about a day or two, and I kept thinking, well, I'll try and make it better. And at the end of a week, when I hadn't made any changes, I thought, I better give it to him. So I did. I went in. He stared at it, and he said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And finally he said, oh, well, let me work on it. And I thought, he hates it. And about 3 days later, his secretary called. I went in, and we chatted for a while. And then he got up, and he said, on his way to the piano, he said, I'll probably screw it up. And I thought, oh, my God, he's as nervous as I am.
No.
So it turned out to be a wonderful collaboration because he was just so easy to approach.
Interesting. One of the things I think that make you such a special lyricist, Sheldon, is your ability to give the essentials of a narrative, tell almost whole novels in a very brief space of time, almost haiku-like. And here's a song I actually played last year on my Father's Day show, which is, of course, Henry VIII, sung by Nicole Williamson, singing a song about the entire Tudor dynasty in 3.5 minutes. Lyrics by Sheldon Harnick, music by Richard Rodgers, Why from Rex.
Little boy sits on his father's lap, and his eyes shine more and more as his father tells him what it was like when the roses were at war. All England was in turmoil then, for bad King Richard reigned, and the people rose against him, for God had so ordained. And the little boy's father led them, and his forces won the day. King Richard died in a battle, but his crown had rolled away. And they searched the field of battle until the crown was found. they found it on a hawthorn branch, and a brand new king was crowned. So the little boy grew as the son of the king, and no one denied him anything. And he spent his days in mindless play, for he knew that his brother would reign one day. But when he was 12, his brother died, and he was betrothed to his brother's bride. And 6 years later, the king was dead, and his son felt the weight of the crown on his head. And he married his brother's former bride, and he had 4 sons, and all of them died. He divorced his wife, and again he wed, and he had 2 sons, both born dead. And now he sits and wonders why God raised his father up so high. Since father was crowned a king, O Lord, only 50 years have passed. Why make him a king, the first Tudor king, and make his son the last? Why let it end with me, O Lord? Is it all to end with me, O Lord? Why?
King Henry lamenting from the musical Rex, lyrics by Sheldon Harnick. Well, we'll go from one regal figure to another. I think the dominant queen of musical theater at the moment can only be Audra McDonald. And why don't you tell us why you picked this number?
I heard this number. I didn't know that Audra had recorded it, but I heard it on the radio. And I was just blown away by her and by the arrangement. They took certain liberties with the harmonies, but they were liberties that I approved of. And she just, she has such heart in her approach to it. It's terribly moving. I just love it.
Well, Audra McDonald singing When Did I Fall in Love from Fiorello.
Him so much than I didn't before. When did I fall in love? What night? Which day? When did I first begin to feel this way? Would the moment pass unfelt, ignored? Where was the blinding flash? Where was the crashing chord? When did I fall in love? I can't recall. Not that it matters at all. And I miss him more with each goodbye. Out of the house 10 seconds, and I miss him, and no one's more astonished than I. I never once pretended that I loved him. When did it start? This change of heart. When did I fall in love? What night?
that it matters at all.
McDonald hits it out of the ballpark from Fiorello. Last year on my Father's Day show, I played a lot of Broadway musical fathers, and I actually ended with my favorite, which is Meyer Rothschild. Such an extraordinary show, The Rothschilds, score music, of course, by Jerry Bock, brilliantly orchestrated by Don Walker, with an immense charm offensive by Hal Linden. Just spectacular. And you picked this immense novelistic song for us, Sheldon, from the show. Tell us why.
Among other things, it showed us a side of Jerry Bock's versatility that's kind of amazing. There's a counterpoint. There's four voices counterpoint in it, and that all came first. That music was on one of the tapes that he sent me, and I couldn't wait to put the lyrics to it. And Jerry was a wonderful editor, too, so that he kept suggesting, in this particular song, he kept suggesting improvements so that not a lot of the lyric, but there are part of the lyric that's because of Jerry Bock.
Well, it's a remarkable bit of lyric writing as well. You get the whole arc of the Rothschild dynasty in about 6 minutes. Here's Hal Linden with one of my favorite songs from the Rothschilds.
Sons, I need sons. Princes, why not kings? Alone I can do just so much. I can go just so far. But with sons, sons extend a man's vision, sons extend a man's reach, sons expand a man's kingdom. Lord, I humbly beseech, give me one little son to enjoy.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Sons refresh a man's purpose, sons renew a man's hope, sons increase a man's chances as they broaden his scope. Frankly, two would be better than one. It's a son, oh Lord, on high, you've heard my plea, and now I'll try for three.
It's a he.
So I sing, it's a boy. A man's impact, sons extend a man's drive, sons are natural allies. I could use at least five. There are walls to destroy, and I've scarcely begun, but with sons to deploy, there's a world to be won.
It's a son.
It's a I've decided it's time. Today the boys go to work. Sons grow up to be partners. Sons grow up to be heirs. Why should strangers inherit what's not rightfully theirs? I have been blessed with gold. Four sons to shape and mold. Amshul!
Yes, Papa.
Amshul, today you go to work in the shop.
Yes, Papa.
Now, Amshul, what I'm about to tell you, you must engrave on your memory. Now, pay attention. Rothschild's aim is to serve our customers. Cordial service is Rothschild's aim. We work hard to deserve our customers, proud of carrying the Rothschild name. Amshul.
Yes, Papa.
I want you to memorize that. Solomon.
Yes, Papa.
Solomon, I want you to be wise, like your namesake.
Yes, Papa.
But not too smart, huh? If any patron ever shows me you've been cheating, you'll get a beating, you won't forget it. Remember always that you bear the name of Rothschild. Don't ever let it down. Hamshel, put away that toy. Did you memorize what I told you?
Rothschild's aim is to serve for Christian.
Stand up straight.
Put your services, Rothschild's
aim. Solomon. Good. See that you don't forget it. Nathan!
Yes, Papa?
Nathan, you are very bright.
Thank you, Papa.
And you're zealous.
Thank you, Papa.
But you're headstrong.
Thank you, Papa.
You don't listen.
I know, Papa.
You're impatient.
Yes, Papa.
So listen.
Yes, Papa.
When a shopper says
when a shopper
she... Nathan, just listen. When a shopper says she simply can't decide, be polite, be discreet. Here is good advice to serve you as a guide. Too much heat will scorch the meat. Huh?
Yes, Papa.
All right. Now repeat what I've just said.
When a shopper says she simply can't decide, don't give up, don't retreat. This is good advice to serve me as a guide. They don't buy and we don't eat.
That's good enough.
Rothschild's aim is to serve our customers. They'll get a beating, and we don't eat.
Jacob, I'm afraid you're too young. Run along and help your mama.
Papa, I'm old enough. Please let me work in the shop.
Jacob!
I know my songs and how to write them. I know the price of every item. I know who buys and who just lingers and who walks out with sticky fingers.
Very good, Jacob.
Very good, Jacob.
Nathan, Jacob, you may join your brothers.
Thank you, Papa.
Boys, huh?
I know my son.
When a shopper says she simply can't decide, don't give up, don't retreat. This is good advice to serve me as a guide. They don't buy me.
Very good. Boys, to work. Sons extend a man's impact, sons extend a man's drive, sons are natural allies. I could use at least five. There are walls to destroy, and I've scarcely begun, but with sons to deploy, there's a world to be won. Huh?
It's a son.
It's a song.
Powerful sequence from the Rothschild. Music by Jerry Bock, lyrics by Sheldon Harnick. I've said this in front of some of my students, Sheldon, but I'll say it to you. There is honestly no lyricist in the American musical theater canon who gives me more profound and simple pleasure than you. So I just want to personally thank you for the work you've done and how many people you've inspired both in theaters and on the air through your amazing career.
May I kiss your hands?
On the radio, no one will know. It's one last song, which will sort of take us out. This year, one of the shows that opened on Broadway was called Motown. And did you know that you have a song recorded on Motown, on the Motown label?
No.
Here is Sammy Davis Jr. speaking not for one, but two oppressed minorities in his version of In My Own Lifetime from the Rothschild. So let's hear that as we conclude a wonderful session with Sheldon Harnick.
The fighting cease. In my own lifetime, I want to see my sons enjoy the fruits of peace. While
lock us in or lock us out. We have climbed higher, much higher than I thought we'd climb. It's a long journey, and even though the end's in sight, there's not much time. I want to know, we haven't built on sand in my own lifetime. In my own lifetime, I want to see our efforts blessed. Yes, in my own lifetime, I want to see the walls come down, and then I'll rest. This Moses wants to see the promised land in
the time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.